Welcome, everybody. Again, I know you've probably been welcomed many times already, but let me welcome you once again, because we are so pleased that you chose to be with us this morning at Calvary Christian as we try to once more join our voices together, join our hearts together as we lift up Jesus, and as we encourage others to do the same, and we hopefully learn more about His will and His wishes for our lives. We're beginning a series today. We're calling this again, Ifs, Ands, and Buts of the Bible. Ifs, Ands, and Buts of the Bible. Question for you. Have you ever heard that phrase together, ifs, ands, and buts? Now, normally when you hear it, isn't it kind of like more like this? Somebody's telling you something, they're trying to convince you of something, they say, well, that's the truth, and there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Right? That's usually how we hear it. Having said that, you may be surprised to know that in God's truth are a lot of ifs, ands, and buts. And we're going to be looking at some of those over the next few weeks. There are some very unconditional promises that God makes to His people that have no ifs, ands, or buts about them. But you really, if you get to looking and studying, there are a whole lot more that have ifs, ands, and buts than don't. That do have some conditions placed upon them. We're going to be considering this morning, for instance, Deuteronomy 28 and through 30. Now, with those, I'm not going to be reading those three chapters, but if you want to open your Bibles there to page 314 of the Pew Bibles, you can follow along if you'd like. I will be reading some sections of it, some blocks of it, but again, primarily in chapter 28 and 30 rather than 29, because it's really just connecting the two together. But beginning in verse 1 of chapter 28, this is what happens. And I guess I should tell you, what's going on is that the people are about to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. They'd done that wandering around the wilderness for 40 years because they hadn't been sensitive to God's desires, and they'd been murmuring and complaining a whole lot. None of us ever do that. But they were, and because of that, they had a delayed, if you will, enjoyment of the promises. But God is also saying, you know what, you're going to have to make some heart changes, and you're going to have to consider some things before you cross over if you want to receive those blessings. And in verse 1, he says this, if you fully obey, notice that, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you. What? If you obey the Lord your God. So, see the ifs? That big little word, if, is there. And if we miss the word if in this passage, we're going to miss the idea that God has here for the concept of His promises that we're giving to Israel, and often are really principles that we need to understand for us to receive all the blessings of His promises as well. Because He does have promises there, right? He says, all these blessings will come upon you. All these blessings. Well, what blessings? What blessings are you talking about? Well, we're going to look at that in just a minute. But before we do, I want to ask you something. Some of you are going to have to think back a little while. Some of you maybe not so far. But let's just imagine that you were a small child, maybe 6, 7 years old, and you are at the dinner table. And your dad, your father, says to you, if you eat your vegetables and then help your mother clear the table, then I'll take you out for your favorite ice cream this evening. Wow, cool. Sounds good. To your favorite ice cream place. Sounds cool, right? That sounds great. Well, what if you paid no attention to those ifs? What if you just said, you know what? I'm not eating those vegetables. I'm not even going to taste those vegetables. I'm not even going to touch those vegetables. I don't like vegetables. So I'm not going to do that. And you get up from the table in a huff just because, well, they would even insinuate that you should take some responsibility, you know, clearing the table. So you're just going to go off in a huff. I'm not going to do that either. Would you have any right to expect the ice cream later? You might hope that your father would give it, even though you did not listen to the ifs and respond to the ifs, but you'd have no right to expect it. Would you? And let me just say to you, parents and grandparents, if you are in the habit of using ifs when you talk to your children, and you do put conditions on some rewards, and they don't do what you've asked them to do, and you still reward them, you're not doing them any favors. You are not. You're not teaching them responsibility. You're not teaching them to respect authority. You're not teaching them to follow through with instructions or listen. Not doing any favors. And if they don't learn that, they're going to be disappointed in life. And they're always going to be expecting rewards and wondering, well, why didn't I get them? Because they missed the if. Very important. Now, but if you did do what your father asked, you'd certainly expect him to fulfill what he said, right? You would. So, what are those blessings? What are those blessings? Well, beginning in verse 3, I want you to listen closely if you don't have your Bibles open. I'm going to be emphasizing the word and here, okay? So I'll just let you know. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but they'll have to flee in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You'll lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or the left, and don't follow other gods and serve them. Now, I emphasize the word if twice in there, because it's there, isn't it? But I also, as I warned you, I emphasize the word and. Boy, that's a wonderful conjunction in this passage, isn't it? Wonderful conjunction, because it's joining this long chain of wonderful benefits and blessings, isn't it? Just tremendous blessings, one after another, after another, after another. This and this and this and this and this and this and this. It almost sounds like, well, how can I possibly even receive all? That's so much. But he's saying, if, right, you obey me, if you respond to me, then I will give you this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Wow. That means that there are going to be some choices they were going to have to make ahead. There will be many junctions in their life when they were going to have to make some choices. Whether they were going to do what the Lord wanted or what they wanted. In order to receive the blessings, to receive all that bounty, all of that abundance, there was some ifs. If you turn this way, and he even said, not turning towards the other gods, not turning away from me, but again, letting me lead you. Isn't that the idea? Chain of blessings, wow. How many of you would like to be on the receiving end of that kind of blessing? I mean, you might say, well, I don't own a farm and I don't have livestock, you know. But the idea is that whatever you're working with, whatever you're doing, he'd bless the work of your hands. Whatever, again, you are involved with, he's going to bless you in that. And there's going to be, he said prosperity, didn't he? That you'd be prosperous. I'm going to bless you with that. Who wants in on that? We all do. Well, you can. If that's conditions attached, right? If you remain in a relationship with me and you're responding to me. Now, picking up in verse 15, are you ready? This will be on there for you. But if, now some translations say, however if, Same idea.
But if you do not obey the Lord your God, do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you.
What?
Now, wait a minute. God, aren't we going to be blessed whether or not we pay attention to the if? Aren't we going to be blessed just because we're your kids? Aren't we going to be blessed just because we're your children? Aren't we just going to be on the receiving end no matter what? No. He says, if you listen, if you respond, if you obey, you'll be blessed. If you don't, see, but if you don't, what will you get? Curses. It goes on, verse 16, you'll be cursed in the city, cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land, the calves of your herds, and the lands of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. That sounds like just the opposite, right, of the other? And he goes on. I'm not going to read the rest. You can in your spare time. But I would encourage you to. But basically, summing it up, they're going to suffer from diseases and pestilence and poverty and persecution and ruined relationships if they take it for granted that the Lord will bless them no matter what they do in their lives. And no matter how they respond to him and no matter whether they live in a relationship with him or not. If they are going to go through life without any gratitude or appreciation or praise to the one who provides all these blessings, well, they're going to lose out on the blessings. If they're disobedient, then they're not going to be rewarded. It's not going to happen. And he amply warns them. Matter of fact, skipping now to chapter 30, verse 11, listen to the word of the Lord in Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 and following. He says, now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Now, if we stop right there, you might think what he's saying is what you're going to have to do here, it's easy. It's easy peasy. You ever tell maybe your kids or maybe your parents ever told you, you know, well, hey, I'm not asking you to do something too hard. Come on. It's not like I'm asking you to do something you can't do. Well, contextually, there's more than that here. Because he goes on to say, it's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us as we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey. No, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart so you may obey it. What he's really saying here is this isn't hard to understand. When he says, you know what, what I'm commanding you is not too difficult. It's the idea, it's not too hard for you to grasp and understand. This is simple stuff. I mean, I think you guys got it. I think you could say it with me. If I'm responsive to God, I'll be blessed. If I'm not, I will be cursed. Whoa. Whoa. But I mean, it's that simple, right? That's really what he's saying. This isn't that hard. This isn't that hard. Get it, guys. This isn't that hard. But you know what? It seems to me like there's so many believers, there's so many children of God today who haven't got that very simple concept. They don't get it. They just think, I'll be blessed no matter what I do. I can do what I want, choose what I want, go my own way, and God's going to bless me. He just wants me to be happy no matter what I'm doing. Ever hear that? Maybe you thought that. He wants you to be happy. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have everything that you need and more. He wants to do that for you. But not outside of a relationship with him. And not outside of listening to and following in his word. The word is very near. It's close to you. You get this. How many of you get this simple principle today? Hands up. Come on. How many get it? It's not that hard, is it? It's not that hard. Would you like your kids to get this simple principle? I mean, it's not that hard. Right? Isn't that what he's saying? It's not that hard. It's not difficult. This is like, hey, this is simple. And then in verse 15 of chapter 30, he says this. I set before you today life and prosperity or death and destruction. Now that's really melting it down, isn't it? He says, this isn't too hard, but let me really melt it down for you. Here's your choices, right? Life and prosperity or death and destruction. All contingent on what? And if right? On that little word, if. He says, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Here again, so many believers have bought into the idea that they can say, well, I love the Lord, but be as disobedient as a day is long. Not responding to him, not knowing him. They say, I love you, but they do not walk in his ways. And they are intricately tied together. They really are. Jesus would later say, if you say you love me, you'll keep my teachings. You'll keep my commandments. He would say that. He goes on to say that if, again, they will love him, if they'll respond to him, then you'll live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. Then verse 17 of chapter 30. But if your hearts turn away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you'll certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. See, it couldn't be any clearer, could it? Could he be any clearer? He was pretty clear with them, wasn't he? Pretty clear with them. You'd think he was talking to a bunch of little kids. Yeah. Couldn't be any clearer. But guess what? They didn't listen to what he said, at least not responding to it. They failed to do the things he asked them to do. And instead, they did everything he told them not to do. And the consequences were horrible. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Shouldn't have been. Right? Shouldn't have been. Well, what has this got to do with you and me? Because there's no ifs, ands, or buts for us to be concerned about, are there? I mean, that was them. That was Israel back then, you know. And just a little side here. So many people are expecting that Israel is going to be blessed with the lands and all that. But what did he say? If. So many people miss that. And part of Israel's misery today is because they haven't listened to the if. Even yet today. I'm not picking on them, but that's part of the church's misery today too. We're not responsive. We're not listening. We're not paying attention. There are ifs and buts, ands, and we need to be concerned about them. There are. We're going to look at some of them in the next few weeks, but today, I'm just going to ask you to take note of just one very familiar passage, one that I believe that most of you could quote at least the first verse of this short passage. But I'll have it up there for you just in case. But it's John 3, verse 16 through 19. The first verse is what we mostly know, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. What's the next word? But have eternal life. Oh, there's a but, right? But have eternal life. It goes on, for God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through him. I like that. He goes on, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he hasn't believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come to the world. What's the word? But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Now, the ifs in this text are inferred. By that I mean they're there, they're just not spelled out. But there's certainly plenty of buts in here, and that's why the ifs are inferred, because of the buts. Now, most of the buts in this text are greatly appreciated by us, I believe. I really appreciate them, don't you? I mean, we deserve death, but we're offered life. Amen? You like that but? I like that but. I like that one. How about this one? Jesus didn't come to condemn us, but to save us. See, but to, I like that. How about you? I like that. Praise God for that. Great news. Good news. Wonderful news. But the inference. What if we reject him? What if
We don't believe in him as God's one and only Son. What if we don't believe that we need a Savior, let alone that he is the Savior that we need? What if? What if we love sin and darkness more than love and light? What if? What's the verdict? What's the verdict? Well, there were men and women who loved darkness instead of light. Their deeds were evil. They did not want to embrace the light. They didn't want to accept the Savior. They did not believe in him. They did not accept him. So what's the verdict? What's the verdict in the text? Whoever believes in him will not perish. Whoever accepts him as Son and Savior will not perish. Whoever recognizes and embraces him will not perish. But what about those who don't? What about those who don't? It's not just that they're going to miss out on some blessings in life. It's deeper than that, isn't it? It's an eternal lack of reward. That sounds so much nicer than saying it's an eternal punishment. Life and prosperity, or death and destruction. He puts those choices before us. And most of us may not really want to hear that. This isn't one of those messages, oh, I just love this message. You know, but we need to hear it. And we need to understand that we not only need to embrace it and respond to the ifs in God's word and the buts, but we need to understand how important it is that others understand the need to respond. Because it's not all, and so many people just think, well, hey, I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to live forever in heaven with they don't even think maybe with God, but I'm gonna be there, dance in the clouds, without any acceptance of Jesus as Savior or Lord. And that is said by some people to be, well, we're very exclusive and we're not very sensitive, but it is the truth. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. You can finish it with me. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except for by me. That's the truth. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. Choose life. It's set before us. Choose life. Choose life. Life with God forever and ever. And with Jesus, there's so much more than the material, physical blessings that we're looking for. Oh, there's the peace and the joy and the contentment, the satisfaction that comes from knowing we're with God and he's with us. And we have a home in heaven waiting for us, with more beauty and wonder and glory than we could ever possibly even imagine. That list that we read of all the blessings for Israel, if she would listen, oh, what's waiting for us if we listen, is so much more glorious than all of that and anything else we come up with, put together. Choose life. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you even give us a choice. Father, that you even set before us opportunity. You didn't have to do that. You seriously didn't have to do that. We deserve death and condemnation. But you hold before us life. And say, I offer you life. Jesus would say it's life to the full, life that's abundant, life that's so much more than we could ever hope for apart from him. God, if there's someone here today who hasn't yet accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord. I hope they heard the "but." No matter what they deserve, you offer life. You offer life. Thank you, God. Give us the wisdom and discernment to choose wisely in life, knowing that you're gracious and you're good and forgiving. May we be responsive. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.